Good evening. This is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night conference call, Planetary Healing Hour. And I thank everyone for being with us, those people who are listening on BBS Radio. And if you're happening to tune in for the first time, this call is actually simulcast on a conference call. And there's probably something that happens on this particular call that may be different than other shows you might listen to, or even other conference calls. And we've been doing this conference call on the phone for about a year and a half. And the real essence of what we're doing is creating oneness, creating affinity. Now, you know, how do you do that? How do you create oneness and affinity? I didn't even know that I could do it myself. I'm just another person that had a lot of unusual experiences happen to them and had to figure out how to turn these experiences into something that was useful for other people. That was the challenge. How do you create something that's strange and weird to yourself to be useful to other people? And the experiences, I guess, would revolve around what is commonly called channeling, where I was having, and still have, conversations on an ongoing basis with this voice that came out of two personal relationships in my life, sequentially, that was very wise, very powerful, could actually do healings, healed my sister, and that just wanted me to ask some questions and identified themselves as the Council of Elohim, which is, when I looked it up, was the creator God of this realm. Now, you know, put yourself in my shoes. How do I know they are who they say they are? How do I know I'm not being conned? How do I know, well, I knew that my friend couldn't make it up. It was far beyond anything she could make up. It was too, there were too many synchronicities, you know, especially with a healing and a prediction of a newspaper headline. And I know that people are skeptical. I'm skeptical. When people hear something for the first time, you know, everyone who's listening has every right to be skeptical and to scrutinize this, because some guy's on the radio says he's talking to the creator God of this realm. Well, what does it mean to be the creator God of this realm? Where are they? I mean, is this God like the Bible? And, you know, as I had all these conversations with him, I found out that it wasn't exactly like you would think it would be. And that they, that, you know, one way of looking at it and to get a visualization of it is imagine that time is not real and there's all these timelines stacked up on each other. And right where you exist right now, you're in the middle of other timelines, but you can't see them. And there's worlds in those timelines, and there's beings in those timelines, and there's some negative beings, and there's some positive beings, and there, you know, it's like there's a myriad of complexities on timelines that are stacked up on top of each other. Now, when I said you're not in them, that's not exactly true, because part of you is in them. Part of you is in those other timelines, except from our physical point of view, from our physical bodies, we don't have the equipment, the sensory equipment, to see the parts of us in other timelines. So it's something that you have to learn that it's true through your intuitions or through your some other way and physical validation. And these timelines are stacked upon each other to the point where time stops, and there's no time. And guess what? Where time stops, or very close around the edges of it, there are these group souls. The Elohim is one of those group souls, and they can then, and, you know, do you think I understand this? Absolutely not. I'm just here watching my own movie. but they can beam into these matrixes. They can beam through all these timelines, and they can arrive in this level. And I say that because I've experienced them. Now, some people think when I say this, oh, my God, I'm going to have an Elohim arrive in this level and sit next to me. Well, I can say for myself that may be possible, but it hasn't happened for me. The way that I have learned how they operate is that they can project their energy into this realm, and I can feel their energy. And on this conference line, one of my goals is to, and it's been working, that the people that would check into this line might also be able to feel that energy, feel that presence. Because once you feel it, it's kind of like an initiation. It's like you've been introduced to something that perhaps was unfamiliar in the past. Or maybe it was familiar, but you never knew it was conscious and intelligent. And you have the experience of the energy. And so I had the unusual experience of both feeling the energy and speaking to the intelligence behind the energy. Now, that intelligence was not the way they describe it, is they are a group intelligence outside of time. And when they operate as a team, and then they have subgroups and subteams and different councils. And essentially, they are one of the, maybe at the top level of the principal regulatory group that moderates the flow of energy into our realm. And they have councils and sub-councils and groups that monitor us, like the Council of 12. We spoke to the Council of 12, and the Council of 12 is a group of 12, I believe they're individual souls, that monitor this realm and decide when energy should come in here and where it's needed and who's asking for it. Now, I don't know exactly how all this works, but then I said, well, how come they come in when I ask them? Why don't I have to go through the Council of 12? And they said, well, I have learned to pick up on their energy, and there is free will, so that when someone down here has that experience, they can work directly with the Elohim. Now, you know, I'm telling you guys that are listening to this for the first time that don't believe me. Evaluate this. Evaluate my website. Evaluate the story that led me to this experience. And then come back and tell me, give me a better explanation for what's happening to me than the one I'm giving you. And I'm not telling the whole story tonight because the story, we told it many, many times on this line, and it's available on higher-vision.org. We have higher-vision.org has quite a few subsets. It's got conversations with my girlfriend, which actually tells the story. Then there's another thing. That site was put up in 2003 when this was the first thing that happened to me, and I had no idea how to share it with the world. So I said, well, I'll just tell the story on the website, and I'll leave everybody anonymous. Quite frankly, I was scared to say my name or any of the names of the parties. I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I wasn't sure how people were going to respond to what I'm saying. I'm saying it now, and I'm saying it kind of up front, but at that point I would have never spoken like this. And also I was monitoring my own experience. I was like wondering how this all works, how to do this, how to put this into the world, and I didn't know how, so I just told the story. So that's up there. It's conversations with my girlfriend. And then there is the insidescoop.org, where I just recorded a lot of people's voices, and they told the story. And my sister and my two friends that were channeling are there on that audio file, because I figured some people are going to think that I maybe made this up some way. And so I had all the principals actually talk and share. So if I did make it up, we have one heck of a conspiracy, because I got like four or five other people on that tape. And so the fact of the matter is, I couldn't make it up. It's really happening. And the amazing thing is they're here now, and if you're open to it, they're open to you. They're open to paying attention to you. The way the call started was I asked them if they would pay attention to people on the call, and they said they would. So, you know, many of you have felt the energy, particularly the people that have come into the call for quite some time. You know, we can just take a moment, and we'd usually do this somewhere later in the call, but I just want you guys to feel the energy of this in your space. Now, if you don't feel it, don't feel bad, because sometimes, and I'm going to go into this next, some of us have different inner obstacles that prevent us from feeling this energy. And so the challenge becomes either we're a bunch of wackos and this is all crazy, or else you have something to go through to be open up to feel the energy. And either could be true, and that's where you have to make up your own mind. But what I'm going to do is just say, imagine that the parts of you that are in other dimensions can come together right now. We're going to intend ourselves to go into the blending of energies. Now we're going to ask those group souls to blend with us, the Elohim group and the Ra group. And sit down if you're sitting and your family's there or the TV's on, you may block this experience. And when this happens, if you shut your eyes for a moment, you can monitor your energy, and some of you will notice there's a pressure on the top of your head and around your head. And you can feel like a beam of energy or light coming into you or working with you. And it's very gentle and it's very subtle. It doesn't hit you over the head. It's real subtle, but it's there. I can stop talking. I'm not doing this. I'm like an MC. I'm not doing it. If I stop talking, you'll still feel that energy. So I'm going to make the postulate that that energy that you're experiencing is this group soul that is outside of this dimension, that's beaming down and paying attention to you, that would like to connect with you, that if you learn the reference point, you can become more friendly with it, more comfortable with it. And this has happened. People in our conference line who have come in regularly, they came in and they felt this energy, and they questioned if it was real, and they had their own skepticism, and then eventually, as they kept coming into the line, the energy got to stick in their life longer and longer. And there were, many of them reported their relationships changed with their family or their wives. Sometimes someone would put something in the light and they would have a miracle, or they'd have some synchronicity that wouldn't have normally happened. So this is a offered freely for anyone who would like to continue. We do these calls every night of the week, and I don't do them except for Monday. But there's people that have had personal experiences that have been very profound that have been doing them during the week, and so they're going on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you can email Suzanne@higher-vision.org to get the complete schedule. Suzanne@higher-vision.org and to get the phone number. And while you're at it, if you're listening on BBS and you haven't requested it, we have a free ebook called Questions and Answers with the Elohim that add it to your request, and Suzanne will send it to you. And that has some really breakthrough understandings about how the connection between other realms and this realm actually work. From, if we have it right, the sources of the other realms, that one of the sources that we've identified is God. Now, you know, last week we emphasized the Ra group. We were talking about the Edgar Cayce readings. This week I'm kind of focused right now on the Elohim group. And those of you that have listened, they've heard me say this many times, these are the two groups that moderate our solar system, or modulate our solar system, our galaxy. The Ra group made up of graduates of this realm, and the Elohim made up of energies and intelligences that have never come into this realm. But both of them are able to penetrate through the dimensions and make themselves known to us as energies that we can feel, and that we can companion with. So one of my goals in the call is to help you have those reference points to feel those energies. And if you can make that connection, that's a really valuable thing in your life, because then no matter who else you're around and whatever goes on, you have an inner connection with these great loving energies that are just waiting to work with you. And sometimes we don't believe that could happen for us. We don't believe we're worthy. And I had a conversation with Suzanne earlier in the week, and I said I was going to talk about this on the line, and that had to do with worthiness. You know, I can say that worthiness is certainly an issue that I've dealt with all my life. And so when I talk about this, I'm not lecturing from outside myself, because I told Suzanne that I learned that there is one really easy way to conquer unworthiness. And anyone could do it, and it would work any time if you did it. And it didn't cost any money. And so I said, you know what? I should bring this up and tell it to people, because, you know, it's so simple. Sometimes the most simple things escape us. And you know, I'm looking here. I have a poem that I wrote about worthiness. And I'm going to see if I have it handy. Where is it? If I don't find it, I'll skip it. Let me see here if it's in here. You know, for a period of time, I thought that writing poetry was my strongest suit. And I was writing really good poems, and I was sending poem. Actually, those of you that haven't heard the story, I was selling things at street fairs, and I stopped writing music, and I used to play music, and then I said, if I have to sell at street fairs for the rest of my life, I'd rather die now. And so it was at the end of one of these fairs, and I went and bought a book, just a blank book, and I started writing poems. And I said to myself, geez, I can still write. And I kept writing poems, and I started sending them out to different places on the internet, and they started publishing my poems. And then, after a while, one of the places that I had sent a poem to said, we would like to ask you if you'd like to write on assignment. And that means they would assign me a project or assign me something, and I would have to write something based on what they assigned me. And so I said, sure, I'll do that. Now, I couldn't think for the life of me why they were asking me to write on assignment, because I was just writing poetry, you know. Some of my poems were really dumb. I am what I am, what I am it. I'm not what I'm not, what I'm not. I do what I do when I do it, and I stop when I stop when I stop. And so my first assignment was to interview this famous author who was named Dharma Singh Khalsa, who was a Sikh and had written a book called Meditation as Medicine. And so I interviewed the guy, and the woman really liked my interview, and so she said, okay, we're going to pay you to write something every week. And so I did. I started writing, not every week, every month. I started writing articles every month, and it was a web magazine. And if you want to go read some of those articles, you could do a Google search on my name and then Spirit of Maat, M-A-A-T. And all the articles will come up that I wrote for that magazine. And so I'm really writing these articles, and then I found the website of David Wilcock, and I said, oh my God, this guy has to be Edgar Cayce. And I told my editor that I wanted to interview David, and she looked at his website, and she said, Lynn, this guy is some kind of wacko. And I said, no, I don't think so. And so she said, well, you can interview him, but we're not going to run the interview until we read it. So I sent her the interview, and she called me immediately back and said, Lynn, you're right. This guy is Edgar Cayce. I think you're the guy that's supposed to write the book about it. And so I did. And many of you have read the book, and, that was my first real introduction to many of the things I'm talking about on this call, to channeling, to trusting channeling, to think that there's positive forces that you could trust on the other side. And any of you who are listening that would like to support this work, please get the book from my website at www.caseysback.com or the phone number 800-345-NOOK. And although the book is available everywhere, when you buy it there, it helps our cash flow. So, and also you get a free CD of one of my talks included with it. Good, I found my poem on worthiness. But I wrote this a long time ago, and I know some of you out there are going to resonate with this. And so when you hear this, you know that for whatever I'm doing, I've walked the path of going through a lot of my own obstacles and circumstances, and I got through them, which is one of the reasons, or I'm still getting through them, I should say, but I've certainly made progress, and it's one of the reasons I could look back and see a lot of the things that other people are going through and see them clearly, because it's just not so long ago I was there. So worthiness, self-worth. I'm an expert on these. I wish I could say I've mastered them, but more often they've mastered me. As my subconscious level of lack would cause outward situations to manifest which match the inner. The problem, how does one learn to deserve more? I contemplate the reasons for my unworthiness and reflect on my oppressed childhood, misunderstood, rejected, rejecting myself. I see how I shrank from life into safer places inside myself. And now I'm trying to unshrink myself and love you because you are worthy. And to have you, I must experience in my heart of hearts that I deserve you. Okay. Well, I was going to tell you how to conquer unworthiness. And here's the deal. The fail-safe way that absolutely works is every day do something that creates real value for someone else, and something that there's no string attached, no obligation, something you spontaneously figure out to do. And when you create value every day for someone else, the part of you that feels unworthy has to retrain itself and go into worthiness and feel good about yourself. You can't feel unworthy if you're constantly doing worthy things. But it has to be something that has no strings attached, and it has to be something very pure. Like, for the example I gave Suzanne when we were talking about it is, okay, my Aunt Hattie, and I do have an Aunt Hattie in New Jersey. She's old. She's like 85 years old. I said, I'm going to call my Aunt Hattie today and say hello, because I know that if I call her, I will cheer her up and she will really appreciate it. And so that's like an example of something to do, unexpected, not out of obligation. If you don't have an Aunt Hattie, or if you don't can't think of something, stick a dollar in your pocket and go out, walk around, and find someone that really needs that dollar and give it to them and walk away. Or go to, I used to do this, I used to go to rehabilitation homes years ago. I used to take my guitar and sing for those people. And find a place of an old age home or rehabilitation home and go visit it and cheer up those people who are stuck there, whose families probably abandoned them. If you do things like that on a regular basis, you will switch your unworthiness around. You have to do it. But it's like a new habit. And it's like you'll start to change your attitude 24/7, because suddenly you, who thought you were worthless, have become really important to certain people. And you can't feel worthless once you have that happening. So, oftentimes on these calls, we talk about celestial things and far-out things and the interaction between other realms and this realm and how to connect with other realms. And simultaneously, everyone here has issues, human issues. And and unworthiness is an example of a human issue. And at different times I felt that we kind of have neglected the human issue part, because we start talking about the celestial stuff, it gets so big and huge that the human part gets left behind. But it doesn't really get left behind. It's kind of still going through its neediness, its loneliness, its anger, its resentment, its jealousies, its fears. Because the human part is our little body animal, and it is a body animal, and it is human, and just because we can have the Elohim beam down into our space or have this knowledge of all this wonderful esoteric stuff doesn't mean that we are taken away from the responsibilities of being human. And so I met a fellow up in Fairfax, California, a couple of months ago. His name was Matthew Edwards, and he was an awesome channel. And I sat through a couple of his channelings, and his channel, which he calls the spirit of the person who's there, his channel was addressing and counseling the human parts of people, and with huge, huge wisdom. And so we did something a week ago on the conference call. After the call, we tried to see if Matthew could channel on the conference call and if we could create an environment where he could answer people's questions and the energy would be there. And those who were on that call, I think, really had a profound experience of that interaction. And so we're going to do this again, and we might do it on a regular basis, not here on this line, but on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific time, California time. And I'll give you guys the phone number if you want to check in. And get ready. It is 218-862-1115. And the PIN is 88261 pound. 218-862-1115. And the PIN is 88261 pound. And this call is an easy one to invite people to because it doesn't go into the many of the far-out things that I talk about. Matthew is very grounded, and his source is very wise, and it addresses human problems. And I was going to play, and this is where I'm going to set to it, but I think I'm just going to play it. I hope you guys can hear it. I think you will. I'm just going to play it. Hang on a second. This was a little conversation I had with Matthew about what he does, and then a couple minutes of his source speaking.
Who is in Fairfax, California. I'm in Sedona, Arizona, and we're just going to have a discussion about this unique ability that Matthew has to tap into what he calls spirit, or source, and is able to communicate a higher level of understanding of the kind of problems that humans go through than most of us have access to. Matthew, is that a good way of describing it?
No, I just want to check. Before I play this whole thing, I want to make sure that you guys are hearing it.
All callers are unmuted.
Can you guys understand that?
Yes, very well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Better than normal.
Better than normal. Okay, great. So I'm going to continue. And I suppose it's coming out on BBS also.
All callers are muted.
I would describe it in a little bit of a different way, although I think that's a good way to describe it. When spirit wishes to speak, there needs to be an empty space for consciousness to experience direct connection with spirit. If the mind is present and the ego is present, if there's a lot of activities that personality is experiencing, it's difficult for the spirit voice to be heard. My job and my training is to clear my mind, clear my personality out of the way, and connect with the spirit source that is giving rise to the moment, the group, the person I'm doing a reading for. It varies depending on who I'm reading for, it's a group or a person. But there's a spirit nature there. There's a spirit voice, a spirit essence present that wants to speak, that wants to convey information from the spirit perspective to the conscious minds of the people or the person. And whereas we are all capable of directly connecting spirit, that's true, but not all the time do we have the experience or training or the ability to set the intellectual mind, the conceptual mind aside long enough to actually receive direct information from spirit. So that's my role. My role is to connect with the spirit, empty myself out of the vessel, which is this body, and allow this vessel, this container, to be used by that spirit energy, that spirit essence of the group or the person I'm working with, to speak through my vessel to deliver information to the conscious mind of that group or the person. And so it's not so much that I'm getting that information so much as I'm getting out of the way and allowing that to come through.
When was the first time that you learned that you had the ability to do this?
Well, I did a 5-year apprenticeship with a teacher, Ken Ludden is his name, and he's part of a lineage of mystic practitioners, mystic masters. The tradition came through Hungary, although there's evidence that it originated in Egypt before that. And so sometimes we refer to it as a Hungarian mystic tradition, but it came through Hungary. It didn't so much originate there. And I did a 5-year apprenticeship in my early 20s. I'm in my mid-30s now. And that was the time that I was first introduced to channeling, to using the body as a vessel for spirit. So it was my first experience of it was about 12 years ago when I first started working with my teacher.
When you were working with your teacher, were you able at that time to bring through this spirit voice that he
No.
No. You integrated it in the afternoon left.
I went through a training process with him, and during that time gradually became more and more able to open to that essence. I was able to receive psychic images and connect with spirit kind of in a modulated way, where they would present information to me through visual images in my imagination. But actually allowing myself to be used as a vessel, voice to come through and just simply flow, that took me a few years to have my first experience of that. And it's continued to develop after my apprenticeship. And I ended my apprenticeship 7 years ago. And it's recently, in the last couple of years, that I've been actually doing this in group settings.
When was the first time you actually did it and realized that you were bringing through this wisdom that was not normally accessible through your unconscious mind?
It was on my couch. I mean, on the couch at my teacher's place during my training, towards the very end of my apprenticeship, when I had my first experience of actually bringing through the spirit voice. It was very brief, and I
shocked. I was crying. I was happy. I was excited. And I was a little overwhelmed. So you do readings for people now. How good percentage of the people that you do readings for seem to get benefit from it?
That's a hard question for me to answer. I would just say that there's many people who have expressed gratitude for what's been delivered to them through the sessions.
You've watched people grow as a result of what's been delivered to them.
Absolutely. I've seen lives be completely transformed over periods of time.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Urge our energies at this moment, and we invite all those positive service to other groups that we've been working with, and the ones that Matthew works with, to join our group energy, and we make a protective field for all of this, that only positive energies in the Christed light can penetrate, and we hold this energy, and I turn it over.
Every child begins unfolding how life is precious because the life begins many, many processes, more than is experienced by that being. Ripples in an infinite ocean. Life, a single life. Stone dropped in the infant pond. When you emerge from your chrysalis, and this is a group message, a message relevant to this group. When you emerge from your chrysalis, you will find a beginning so different than what preceded the chrysalis, that you will find it difficult and intricate. Consolidate the new elements of your reality into a life approach. But you are not breaking down. You are aligning in new ways. Form, function, design, and flow. Flow is the key. Function will become clear over time.
Okay. That's it. And I hope you guys could hear that. That was Matthew Edwards. And we're going to be doing a live channeling with Matthew this Wednesday at 6 p.m. not on this line, a different number, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 218-862-1115, and the PIN is 88261#. 88261#. I think I have those numbers correct. I'll probably put it out on our email list on Dimensional Shift for those of you that are subscribed to that. And it's a rare opportunity, and if it works out, it may be an ongoing event at the same number at 6 o'clock. And let's see, it is 8:23. I'd like to call in the light and bring in all these energies. And for those of you on BBS, letting you know that we do this conference call every night on the telephone lines. And if you're interested in checking in, and if you felt the energy tonight, the email Suzanne at suzanne@higher-vision.org. We have a free ebook called Questions and Answers with the Elohim that we'll send you upon request. I highly recommend you read the Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce if you're interested in understanding the shift that's happening on our planet and what 2012 really means. And the website for that is caycesback.com, caycesback.com. And there's a lot of people that have been volunteering and helping to make all this possible. And I just want to thank them all. Many of them are on the line right now. And we're going to call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies to the center of the earth. And right now, those of us that of free will choose to participate, we intend to connect our spirits together in a moment of blending, what the Bible called communion. And we can shut our energy eyes and we can feel those energies, and some of you can feel the light on your forehead indicating your chakras opening. And we invite those group souls, the Ra group, the Elohim group, that are operating in service to others in the Christed light, to join with us. We send this light, this energy, this group energy that we're creating around our planet. We ask it to find areas of darkness and fill it in. We take a moment and send it to yourself and to your families and to the people you work with and anyone that is sick or having a hard time. Send it to them for the highest good. And on that note, we're going to bring the BBS part of this call to a close. I do have one important announcement, and that is Don at BBS has said that all his shows on Station 2 that start at 6:30, as of next week, will start at 6. So next week, those of you that are checking on the phone line, it's going to be 10 to 15 minutes earlier, 5:45. And the show is going to be going from, actually, he's at 5 of 6 to 5 of 7. We'll see about that. It'll probably start at 6. I can't believe it's going to start at 5 of 6. But nonetheless, not at 6:30, at 6. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, everyone that's listening. And now we're going to go through individual putting in the light on our conference line. And if you'd like to do that, just make sure you get the number and check in next week. Okay? So let me...